How's it, folks? It is Hard Knock Radio. My name is Waylon, and some of you may know that there is an exhibit at the prestigious Asian Art Museum in downtown San Francisco. It's called Lord of the Samurai. Now, I first heard about the exhibit because I was riding BART, you know, minding my own business. Suddenly, there's some dude dressed up in a samurai uniform walking down the aisle in the middle of the BART train, handing out these cards, inviting other people to come check out the exhibit to Lords of the Samurai. So, you know, I thought it was pretty corny when I saw the samurai walking down the BART aisle, handing out little cards advertising the Asian Art Museum, because, you know, it's the Asian Art Museum. I thought it was something a little bit more uppity. But no, it was kind of corny. I only thought it was corny, but some other folks, they got together. They were a little bit more upset than I was about it. I just thought it was corny. They thought it was dangerous. They went ahead and they created a website. It's called Asians Art Museum, where Asia still means Oriental. And we're going to talk all about the things that are on this website, why they felt compelled to create a website like this. We have the communications director of the Asians Art Museum with us. His name is Majime Sugiru. And also on the line is Valerie So. She is an educator at San Francisco State, where she teaches Asian American studies. She's also a well-known blogger and an early supporter of the Asians Art Museum. First, let me go ahead and talk to you, Majime. I mean, you're the communications director. Why did you feel compelled to create a website really deconstructing what the exhibit is at the prestigious Asian Art Museum?
Well, let me just first say it's an honor to be here on Hard Knock Radio. And as far as I see it, there's a long tradition of this museum producing what some would call Orientalist stereotypes, and with these summer blockbuster shows just really ingraining them in the whole public's consciousness. And for those of us who have to live with these stereotypes projected on our bodies, we're saying, no, we've had enough. So this has to change. So we did our homework. We made this website. It's full of peer-reviewed academic literature spelling out all the history about the samurai they deliberately chose to leave out and exposing the practices of the museum. And we try to use humor and parody to try to entertain people at the same time so that they'll be receptive to the message, we raise awareness, and hopefully maybe even build a movement of support to bring about change inside this publicly funded institution.
Now, why would you want to put the Asian Art Museum on blast? I mean, aren't these our folks? Isn't that our museum?
Well, that's the thing. They call themselves the Asian. People inside and outside the museum call themselves the Asian, as if there's one Asian, and they decide what that means culturally. But as an Asian, based on what I've seen of their work, I find that horribly offensive. It's time to have them come correct.
All right. Well, we're going to speak more about the nuts and bolts of the website, but let me talk to you first, Valerie. When you first heard about the website, what did you think?
I looked at it and I said, this is absolutely brilliant, because it hits all the points that people need to know about why the museum is sort of whitewashing the history of samurai, you know, glorifying violence, glorifying militarism, trying to, restart the Japanese nationalism. And to me, they're just glossing it over and calling the samurai, they're referred to them, I think, as artists and poets, you know. And as Majime said, this is sort of just like a pattern in the way that the museum presents Asians. And it's also a pattern of Orientalism, sort of exoticizing Asians and making them look like these, you know, mysterious, inscrutable people that are, you know, others, that aren't like regular folk. So they're trying to sell this image of Asians as being kind of fantasy people. And to me, that's really offensive, because I'm not a fantasy person. I'm a real person.
All right. Well, do you think that these folks, you know, Majime, he seems like a nice guy. Do you think they went too far? I mean, these are just objects in a museum. Can't we just admire their beauty and just call it a day?
You know, the thing about art and, you know, also film and media and all that is that it actually influences what people think in real life. And you can't divorce that from real life. And that, to me, is sort of the important thing. It's like, yeah, you could say, oh, it's just art. Why are you taking it so seriously? But it's not. It's also, you know, cultural commentary. And when people get their information from places like the museum about Asians, you know, then they have a skewed view of what we're like.
Once again, that's the voice of Valerie So. She is on faculty at San Francisco State in the Asian American Studies Department. And here in the studio is the communications director with Asians Art Museum, Majime Sugiru. Valerie talked about glossing over the history of the samurai. What exactly are we glossing over? I mean, they were warriors.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's a warrior culture. And when we look at the promotion of the exhibit itself, the events, the public programs and educational activities, we kind of saw three things we wanted to hit up. So in our parody of their promotion, we came up with our own flyers and the website you referred to, and we call it Lord, It's the Samurai, Myth, Militarism, and Man-Boy Love. And a big part of what's going on is...
That already sounds more interesting than what they got going on at the other exhibit.
we kind of thought it was funny. Right? So in terms of myth, what we see is a stereotype of the virtuous Oriental warrior, master swordsman. But it's not grounded in actual history of what warriors do when they're not drinking tea and writing poetry and other things, which is war. And we think for an audience who doesn't really know much about samurai other than what they've seen in movies, it's kind of dangerous to be promoting the militarist aspects of a culture, presenting it as beauty when it's actually a culture of violence.
Mm.
So one example we give is this monument in Kyoto called Mimizuka, which is a tomb for ears and noses that were sliced off of like 40,000 people. And we bring up that example because there's sort of this fetishization of the whole samurai sword, and it totally ignores how it was actually used. And so when the samurai invaded Korea in the late 16th century, it was impractical to ship heads back of their victims. So they sent pickled noses and ears and made a monument of this as a testament to their victory.
So these beautiful swords that are on display at the Asian Art Museum, there's blood on those swords.
That's what we're saying, yeah. And I don't think the museum wants you to see that. They also have a section about tea ceremony. There's a whole ideology of the samurai warrior that goes hand in hand with an ideology of tea ceremony. It's about Japanese cultural uniqueness. If you look at it historically, it was actually tied to nationalist movements in the early part of the 20th century.
This samurai myth.
Samurai myth and the ideology of tea.
Okay.
So they have a section in their exhibit about tea, but it doesn't mention anything about the fact that in that same invasion of Korea that I referred to, where estimates of 1 to 2 million people were slaughtered, women and children included, the samurai also abducted Korean artisans who were skilled in making ceramics because Korean had a superior ceramics technology, brought them back to Japan where they revolutionized the teaware in Japan. But you just think of it as Japanese. But
mm-hmm. Ceramics by slavery.
Right, exactly.
Once again, that's the communications director from the Asians Art Museum. They have a wonderful new website. It's www.asiansartmuseum.org. I encourage you to check it out. Get a good laugh, but also get a lot of education. And speaking of education, we have an educator on the line. Her name is Valerie So. And this website has kind of kicked off quite a discourse amongst educators and scholars and historians in, you know, the Asian American studies field.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about what's been, you know, what people have been talking about.
Part of the thing that's really great about the website is that it's, like, really detailed. And there's a lot, I mean, there's, like, a couple hundred links on there that go back to, you know, scholarly texts that people are who are in the field actually recognize. So it's not just, like, some, you know, crazy person blowing off steam about this topic, but actually it's very well-researched, and it's got a lot of facts to back it up. It's got a lot of scholarly support. So, you know, for me, as a teacher, I mean, I like to see that because I like to see, you know, sources quoted, and I like to feel like I feel have some kind of real facts behind what's going on, as opposed to just speculation. You know, because anybody can speculate and be angry, but if you actually have like a really stuff that's really grounded in hard research, then that's pretty impressive. So what I saw when you know, as this site sort of went viral a couple weeks ago, it sounds like you know, Japanese art historians and scholars, museum directors, and so forth are really looking closely at what's going on with this exhibit at the Asian Art Museum, and finding a lot of flaws in it. So to me, that's kind of really great that something that is started, you know, from sort of grassroots community perspective can reach out to people who really need to hear this stuff.
There were some comments on there from a major Asian art museum curator that were really, really interesting, because I guess for those of us on the outside, we don't realize all the forces at play and how some of these forces don't really match up when it comes time to present an exhibit with a narrative and have it be educational all at the same time. Sometimes all those things don't match up.
Well, you know, the thing about museums is they exist to serve the patrons of the museum, who not just like you and me who go to the museum, but collectors. And so the museums, I mean, if you want to think of it sort of cynically, the museums are sort of like these shopping centers for rich people to look at art. and to show off the art that they've gotten. So, you know, it's all kind of all about commerce. You know, that's a whole other thing to think about as well.
Mm-hmm.
So Asian Art Museum is not necessarily interested in talking about stuff that Asian Americans are interested in or that the Asian community is interested in. They're interested in serving collectors who are wealthy people who buy and sell art and trade it and make money off of it. So that's, you know, another reason why it's sort of important to point out there's a lot of flaws in this exhibition.
Well, I think you can look at that gap in perspective between the collectors and the community by the history of the museum. In 2007, the Korean community protested. In 2005, it was the Tibetans. 2004, someone punked them over the geisha exhibit. So there's a history here. And I think this time, we're trying to take it to another level to say that it's not just a little community protest, but we got the weight of scholarship on our side. We've got their community of professional peers watching. We've got the Asian American cultural bloggers all weighing in on this, saying, you're on watch. This needs to change. You can't just walk away from this. And I'm guessing that maybe the museum's thinking their show's ending in a week, less than a week. This whole thing's going to blow over. Nothing's going to change. But we believe it's not going to go away that easily. We believe you're going to start hearing other voices popping up, talking about this, voices that, unlike fringe artists, are seen with legitimacy and authority. And so we're trying to get everyone on board to have them come correct. And we're not talking about little intellectual discussions inside the museum, at the water cooler. We're talking about substantive change of policies, practices, culture inside the museum that we see as out of touch with the world outside the museum.
Well, it sounds like you were invited by the Smithsonian to be a part of a major discussion to talk about the issues that this parody website has raised.
We weren't personally invited, but I think what that curator that you're referring to is saying is that the issues that have been raised are worthy of discussion at a meeting at the Smithsonian Asian Art Curators in the springtime. So that was pretty validating, because even if this one small retrograde institution doesn't respond to us, it means their whole community of professional peers is saying, hey, this needs to be responded to. So in that sense, we're impacting the dialogue at other Asian art museums mm-hmm. on a national level.
All right. I'm curious to know, Valerie, what mm-hmm. your students are saying about the website.
Well, you know, we had a representative from the Asian Art Museum come and talk to one of my classes last week, and the students were just really interested in it. They were like, wow, I can't believe that you can do this and, like, actually make art that has some meaning in real life, you know, that's not just decorative, that's not just, like, some person's personal expression, but that actually tries to reach out and deal with real issues in the community. And I think that they were really excited by that. And, you know, it's all about sort of activism and art and how it all goes hand in hand. So to me, it's great to be able to expose students to this kind of stuff, because then they realize that it's not just about entertainment, you know. It's more about trying to change the world and make the world a better place.
And y'all were able to do this without drawing blood. You know, no major injuries.
Virtual blood. We got some blood drawn, and I think the museum is feeling some pain.
Has there been a official response from the museum?
Well, their official response was to post a blog page called Invitation to a Discussion. And it was actually based on a lie, because on their page description, they say, because we're anonymous, we can't be contacted directly. So let's have this blog page on our blog with our moderator, our staff contributors, our audience. And the fact is, if you've gone to our website or blog, our email address is all over the place. We actually have had direct run-ins with the museum every time we've had interventions over there. We've had a couple. And I'd say every time, with consistency, we've been dealt with condescension, lack of dignity, lack of respect, lack of integrity. And I think even just looking at the merit of our work and who's attested to it, we know the value of our own dignity. We deserve better than that. So we're just not having that anymore. So
I should also say that I blogged about this on my blog, which is Beyond Asiaphilia, and I sent the museum's blog a track back. You know, I cited them and everything, and I sent them a track back. And, you know, they never responded to the track back. They did not post the track back. They did not acknowledge in any way that I had contacted them. So they're sort of, this is sort of all this part of the pattern of silencing, you know, that is going on here. It's like they'll selectively pick out the people they want to speak on it, but they won't let other people speak out against it.
Would you say this website is a success, the Asian Art Museum?
I would say it's a total success, just judging by how many people have read it and how many people are talking about it, how many people are writing about it, you know, how many different kinds of people are writing about it. So it's amazing.
What are you most proud of, Majime?
I think just seeing all the support that's coming in from so many different circles. If you go to the blog and go to the Who's Watching page, you'll see it's like countries all over the world, dozens of universities, major cultural institutions, all paying attention to this. So we don't want it to stop there. We're going to try to keep it alive as long as we can.
All right. I hope you do. Once again, the website is www.asiansartmuseum.org. Last comments from you, Valerie?
Well, I mean, I just, like I said, I just think it's great that this shows the power of independent media, you know, blogs and so forth are maybe hopefully the wave of the future, so we can get away from the corporate media and how they usually misrepresent the true people's points of view.
All right. And last comments from you, Majime, and once again, give out the website and how folks can plug into your exhibit, Lord, It's the Samurai, Myth, Militarism, and Man-Boy Love.
www.asiansart.org. Asians Art Museum, where Asian still means Oriental. We're not saying what's coming up next, but you can look forward to more from us in the future. Just want a quick shout out to Tom and Toshi.
Once again, it is Hard Knock Radio. My name is Waylon. Thank you, Valerie So, and also Majime Sugiro. Thank you all very much.
Thanks, Waylon.
It's Hard Knock Radio. My name is Waylon. We'll be right back.